Good morning, a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, Russian election officials say that 78% of voters in Russia have approved amendments to the country's constitution that will allow President Vladimir Putin to stay in power until 2036. What do you think about this, Alan?
Well, it's obvious that when you have a dictatorship, you load the game. I don't think that the Russians have had an awful lot of experience with democracy. And when they did, it lasted for only a tiny little time. And then Putin, the former KGB colonel, took over. And before that, the Soviet people had always been ruled. And before the Soviets, all of those queens and kings and dictators who came before. This is, in fact, a real model. Trump was heard saying we ought to try that. At least that's the report that I saw. So we do know that Putin is a friend of Trump. And here's Trump, the leader of a so-called Republican democracy, basically endorsing Putin. You know, David, there have been an awful lot of analysis, punditry on the television. I've been watching it with my mouth open. Because the assumption is Trump did not hear from his advisors about the idea that Russia had put a bounty on American servicemen. And the pundits seem to start from there. Isn't that terrible that he didn't get that information? I'm starting from a different point. I'm saying perhaps he did get that information and that he did know it. And it's not that we know, it's that we don't know. And you can make assumptions about how all of this came down. The New York Times has done splendid work. We are finding, for example, that the information was contained in a Trump brief. Trump says he didn't see it. You know what? That's disgusting. This is a guy who is supposed to be the president of the United States, supposed to be doing his work. We have reports that Obama and Biden, when they were in office, even the vice president, were reading those briefings front to back and spending the time that's needed. This guy, Trump, is so arrogant that he says, I don't have to read that. Now we know why he does. If, in fact, that's the case, because there's another possibility, and that is that he did read it and that he did know.
Well, here's what we know this morning. A group of former George W. Bush administration and campaign officials have launched a new super PAC supporting Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, the latest in a growing number of Republican groups to come out in support of Biden over President Trump. The group 43 Alumni for Biden recruited at least 200 former White House officials, campaign aides, and cabinet secretaries who worked under Bush to join the push against the Republican incumbent, and they're planning to roll out supportive testimonial videos featuring high-profile Republicans and launch a voter turnout effort in key states.
Well, that's got to be very bad news for Trump. Obviously, in order to win this election, you don't have to win by 80%. You just have to bring a few people over from one side of the line to the other. It is clear to me that the GW Bush people and his father's people, too, by the way, at the point where they are so disgusted and so afraid of what this guy is going to do. We were just talking about Putin and that model of what this guy wants to do, that they're willing to risk it all and to put it all out on the line. And frankly, that's very good news. Now, they don't have a lot to lose. In the old days, they used to play Mr. Conservative all the time. But now they're not in office, so they don't have to worry about it. I'm thinking about John Roberts and his last couple of decisions in which they went against Trump. Roberts was not appointed by Trump. Roberts was appointed by a Bush. So you got to remember that if you want to discount the fact that he's playing for another team, he is. He's playing for the Bush people, perhaps. I want to add a big perhaps. He says he's just being a good judge, and that certainly is possible, and I'll take it. Nevertheless, let's try to keep things in perspective.
The federal appellate court has delivered a setback to Florida felons seeking to have their voting rights restored. The Atlanta-based 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said it would stay a ruling by a lower court that restored voting rights to hundreds of thousands of felons who had outstanding debts. The stay will remain in effect until the appeals court can review the case and could have significant national implications in November's presidential vote. Florida's estimated 774,000 disenfranchised felons represent a significant block in the state.
We got to assume, David, most of those people are going to vote Democratic just because of the way the demographics fall on who supports Republicans and Democrats. My bet is that there's going to be not a lot of sympathy for the felons on the part of many of the people in the population, although there should be. You serve your time, you do your thing, you should be allowed back into the voting population. And the fact that they won't be is just one more effort to load this election, in my opinion.
Well, U.S. has now set a single-day case record for the fifth time in 8 days. Nearly 50,000 new COVID-19 cases were announced Wednesday. North Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas hit daily records. We're seeing now President Trump coming around and saying he will wear a mask. He looks like the Lone Ranger wearing the mask. Too late.
David, the question is, how stupid are we that we say after all of this, after saying I'm not going to wear a mask and leading all those people to get infected and to go to bars and to open things up, the economy at all costs, this guy is now saying I'm all for masks. Well, if you're that stupid, you say this guy who's responsible, I think, for tens of thousands of deaths because he didn't move fast enough, number one. He denied the whole thing was happening, number two. And here he is saying I won't wear a mask until the day he does wear a mask. I'm all for masks, says this guy. That's disgusting.
Well, maybe this goes even further. Hollowed out public health system faces more cuts amid virus. As the AP points out this morning, has been starved for decades, and it lacks the resources to confront the worst health crisis in a century.
Well, that's for sure. It does lack the resources because there aren't enough resources anywhere. But if we had a better distribution system, if we had Medicare for all, if we were allowing people access to health care, it would be better. It might not be perfect, but it would be better.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Alan, thank you and have a great July 4th holiday. I hope everyone spends a little time thinking about holding on to this great democracy.
That's right, David. It is a great democracy. It can be again. We've just got to do something about where we are now.